The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. The first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another steward he said, and you, how much do you owe? He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails you, you will well be welcomed into the eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will you trust with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy in what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and Mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let prayers be offered for everyone to God, who wills everyone to be saved. These words summarize our second reading, which we just heard from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy. We know this truth, the truth that we have an obligation to pray for others, and we do. All of us here pray daily, offering prayers for our families, our friends, for those who are suffering. In his letter to Timothy, St. Paul explicitly encourages us to pray particularly for kings and for all in authority. We need to pray for our government leaders. We must pray for those in positions of authority in our state, in our nation, and in our world. My dear family in Christ, join me in meditating on St. Paul's encouragement to pray for political rulers. Join me in contemplating, firstly, why it is important to pray for those in authority. Secondly, what is the nature of our prayer for those in authority? And finally, how we should pray for those in authority. First, let us ponder together why it is so important to pray for those in authority. In order to aid us in understanding why St. Paul specifically mentions praying for those in authority, it is helpful to understand the context of what was going on when St. Paul wrote this letter to St. Timothy. The time of the letter is around the mid-first century, during the reign of the infamous Emperor Nero. Widespread imperial persecution of Christians has not yet begun, but Christians are living in fear and are experiencing local persecutions, ostracizations, and harassment from their pagan neighbors and governors. Timothy is in the city of Ephesus, the third largest city in the Roman Empire at the time. We know this because the third verse of the letter St. Paul tells Timothy to remain in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was home to the cult of the goddess Artemis. The temple of Artemis in Ephesus was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. In its day, it was a massive and imposing structure, much larger than the Parthenon. For the converts to Christianity living in Ephesus, the shadow of this incredible temple would have been a constant reminder of all the things they gave up to follow Christ and the hardships they were enduring for his sake. We know that there were tensions within the community in Ephesus because in the 19th chapter in the Acts of the Apostles, there is an account of a riot formed against the Christians. You see, St. Paul's preaching in Ephesus brought about many converts, and as people converted, they stopped worshiping the goddess Artemis. Consequently, the men whose business and wealth depended on the worship of Artemis rose up in outrage against the Christians because the money that they loved was being threatened. It is in this context that St. Paul is telling Timothy and the community in Ephesus to pray for rulers and all those in authority. In other words, for the people who they fear and whom they're being persecuted by. Jesus, St. Paul, and the church in our day consistently teaches that government in itself is not evil, and that we have an obligation to be good citizens and submit obediently to proper authority. However, we know that there are injustices being committed even in our own day. The poor, the migrant, the unborn, the elderly, and those who hold to Christian values are being treated as unwanted, unloved, and disposable by some in our culture. Many people are afraid of what the future of our country and our world might hold. There is so much anger and fear in the world right now. And this is precisely the reason that we must pray for those in authority. This is why we must pray. But how do we pray? How do we form our prayers for those in authority? Remember the second thing we are contemplating together today. What is the nature of our prayers for those in authority? St. Paul also instructs us about the nature of prayer in his letter to Timothy. He says that we are praying that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. He also says that we should pray lifting holy hands without anger or argument. Why? Because this is, quote, good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, end quote. Let's break that down into something easy to understand. Our motivation for praying aligns with God's will, the salvation of souls. We are praying because we want to save souls. We are praying out of love because we desire people to come to the truth. The truth that Jesus suffered and died for us, that we might be saved who believe in him. So our motivation for prayer is love. What is the content of our prayer? We are praying for our leaders that in peace we may devote our lives to God. This makes sense. God desires us to be saved. A government and a culture that makes it difficult to devote your life to God is an obstacle to the salvation of souls. So the content for our prayers for peace, tranquility, and all those things that make it possible for people to worship God in freedom and truth. A society that promotes killing disguised as liberation and justice cannot be free from fear and anxiety, and therefore cannot be tranquil. Our motivation for prayer is love. The content of our prayer is for peace. Finally, our third inquiry is, how are we to pray? St. Paul says we should pray by lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Have you ever prayed privately with your hands raised in prayer? You should try it sometime. Not at Mass, but in your families, in private or in communal prayer. And do not pray with a spirit of anger or argument. For that matter, do not pray in a spirit of fear or anxiety either. Pray in freedom as an offering of yourself in surrender and love and trust in the goodness of God. So to summarize, our meditation on our second reading from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy. 1, we need to pray for those in positions of authority because God desires all to be saved. 2, we need to specifically pray for peace and freedom so that all can become devoted followers of Christ. 3, and we should pray in a spirit of love, surrendering our hearts to God with open arms. In conclusion, let us pray the prayer of St. Clement of Rome, the fourth pope of the Church and a first century martyr. Grant to our civil leaders, Lord, health, peace, concord, and stability, so that they may exercise without offense the sovereignty that you have given them. Master, heavenly King of the ages, you give glory, honor, and power over the things of earth to the sons of men. Direct, Lord, their counsel, following what is pleasing and acceptable in your sight, so that by exercising with devotion and in peace and gentleness the power that you have given to them, they may find favor with you. Amen.